Eu nunca fiz coisa tão certa. Entrei pra escola do perdão. A minha casa vive aberta. Abre todas as portas do coração. Água de beber.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Thursday edition. Today's date is February 8th, 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you here for our third broadcast of the week. And it is interesting that so many people have written me recently. I appreciate all your birthday good wishes. My birthday's not until the 14th of February, not the 8th, but that's okay. I thank you all anyway for those early greetings. And, you know, 50 years old, I've been around a half a century, and sometimes I feel it. I really do. We've been looking at the liars out there since the beginning of doing these broadcasts. I didn't know when I first started doing this who was telling the truth and who wasn't. I mean, when I first started doing broadcasts, all I knew was something was rotten in Denmark and I needed to do something about it. That's what it was. And of course, starting out with my first broadcast, I didn't know, you know, anything. And I would put all kinds of people on air that I had no idea whether their information was accurate or not. But I'm a quick study, and I spent the time, and I got the contacts that started giving me dribs and drabs and bits and pieces of the facts. And as I started putting this stuff together, and it took a few months of reading a lot of different material and you know, finding out inside myself, my stomach, whether people were being disingenuous or they were being deceptive or they were telling half a story or whatever. And little by slowly, I began to weed out people I thought were not being upfront with me for whatever reason. Sometimes it was something in the news would crop up and I would discover that these people were lying, such as, you know, the Flacco people when we did the Flacco flambe way back when, or Tom Hennigan, when he's got shootouts on the subways of Chicago in a big nonsense lie. Or this guy, a story over here he's in New York and in London. Saying that Paulson is arrested and he's in a German jail, and then and I'm watching a clip from the internet where he's at the funeral of somebody that was, it was unbelievable. Anyway, my point is this: there was also a point where I started seeing that many of the people that I was wondering about actually were working together, and the first time I started saying anything about this, the response from everyone was so negative against me that it shocked me a little. One of the first ones that did that to me when I started actually getting the right clue here, which was about a year and a half ago, was Wing TV. As soon as I came to grips with a group of liars, boy, did they start attacking me. Before that, they were constantly glad-handing me. They were, hey, I'm, you know, like my best friend or something. But as soon as I made connections of this group behind the scenes, another one that really caught me was this Carl Schwartz. You know, the guy was saying fantastic things, like he was this huge billionaire, businessman, world traveler, la-di-la, you know, and but one day he asked me to approach the French government with a document he sent me through a PDF file with an official-looking top to it, credit something or other. It was all very looking, official-looking. I started reading it, and it was full of spelling mistakes. The whole thing was a half dozen or more spelling mistakes in the first paragraph alone. And it dawned on me that this was nonsense, and then it dawned on me later that this guy didn't have a secretary, and it didn't work out. I looked for the company Pathmos, and there was no company that you could call up, and then there was no stock of it, and there was no – it was just nonsense. And I started realizing that there was a group fluttering around the Internet that was working together to deceive me. And – it was about that time I started working with Eric, and we started discussing these things pretty regularly. And he had already had a couple of years of going through this nonsense. So, but why am I bringing this up now? Because we're still here. We're still giving you the same qualitative message. We're still trying to get to the bottom of all of these separate issues, including 9/11, including the banking structure, including this 9/11 movement, this nonsensical movement, the war, all of it. We're still working very hard at digging out the lies. But at the same time, there's only a few people left standing with any margin of credibility left. And one of them that I've been right along trying to inform you about is Alex Jones. And so many people refused, absolutely refused, to understand what we were talking about with this guy, that he would not go all the way with the facts, just wouldn't. But more than just going all the way with the facts, he would not go the most important part of it, which was the real bad guys. He would say, of course, the New World Order or the German death cult or all this other stuff, but he wasn't saying that it was a Zionist Ashkenazi group. And all my research, not even an exception in this discussion, all my research led to these people. And I started looking at other people's research from years past, Nesta Webster and Dillings and even Ben Friedman and Myron Fagan, and we went down the list. And what I found was that, in fact, this group has been doing this to us for a very long time. Then I brought on Pitcock, and he told me the history of this. And then, you know, of course, now I know that this is absolutely the fact. And I look now at what Alex Jones does, and I know that he has 50 or 75,000 duped followers. That's what's going on. And those people need to come. See, here's why I keep going back to this well retesting this well every day. We need you, listeners, who are still thinking Alex Jones is on the level. And by the way, he does say a lot of factual things, but that's part of the scam. We need you to come and help us. You already have exhibited an interest in fighting these people. I mean, you wouldn't be tuning in if you didn't have that interest. And the fact is, our 15 or 20,000 followers sure could use 50,000 more. Because at 70,000, we would be one heck of a force to be reckoned with. Not just in numbers, but in influence on the net and influence in the factual area. Now, we discussed last night with Barry Turner, Colonel Barry Turner, the need for you to do the due diligence, and that is that you need to be looking into these facts yourself. Now, of course, my experience tells me 60, 70% of you, even 80 possibly, won't bother. You'll say, yes, Smith says do the due diligence. And you'll agree with that. That's a very good idea, and that is really the proof in the pudding if you do it yourself. But most of you won't. Why? Many of you are too busy. Others too lazy. Others just accepting of the facts as I lay them out. And in fact, that is not the way I really want. I want a well-informed group, but I'd like you to be autodidact, self-taught. I would like you to teach yourself the facts so that you come to these realizations separate from my emissions, my musings, my discussions, my audio files, and then use what I say as a supplemental adjunct to the information that you have already learned from your efforts. Now, of course, that requires some knowledge, I guess. You know, people like Webster Tarpley, Terrorism Made in America. I mean, come on. Of course, he's a Bush Cheney Rumsfeld blamer, and he's going to be leading you away from the Jews. And he does say there were some Jewish influences in the White House, or this or that. He alludes to it. But see, what Jones does too. So does Blood. So does Abramson. So do all of the usual suspects. The fact is that they will not say that this is the criminal conspiracy. It is the group. They are the thieves and liars and murderers and terrorists. That's who they are. So what I thought I would do today, and I asked my partner Erica to get online with me. We're going to have a little discussion about these facts and kind of banter around a little bit. Why it is we approach it this way and what you can do to help us do it. So I'm going to bring Eric up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. Nothing.
Well, it's the same stuff all over again, Eric. I mean, we do this, we do talk about this regularly, but, you know, we're on one of the last old-timer groups still standing, aren't we?
Well, yeah, it's easier for us since we don't have to keep lying all the time. It's... We can't get exposed. That's the problem they're running into. They can't expose us because we're not lying. And
that's
it's
right.
Them, they're like pushing the rock up the hill. We're pushing it down. So.
Well, and the interesting thing is they can't. Yeah, they can't put something out there and say, look, these guys are a bunch of liars. And they have tried to.
Well, no,
they call me. They call me a doo-doo head often enough.
No, what they do is they ignore us because they don't even want to bring attention to it. Because if people look at what we say and then compare it, then they're in trouble. That's what you see. They rarely will attack you. It's once in a while, but you know, most of the time they pretend none of us exist.
Yeah.
You see, because if they bring attention to us, people will look at what we're doing, what they're doing, and then say, "Wait a minute, this makes more sense."
Yeah, yeah.
And when you made that remark about how you got attacked with when you said you criticized Carl Schwartz and Wing TV attacks, people don't realize when you say something that's correct, of course they're going to start squealing. It's like a rat. When you catch a rat, of course it starts to squeal. And if you say something wrong, you get the exact opposite. You get encouragement. And this people don't get it. I mean, it's not a difficult concept. When you say something stupid, like, hey, I saw a crop circle the other day. Then they encourage you. They're going to say, yeah, that's right. Check it out. Rance is full of it. They don't squeal.
That's right.
They
that's
squeal
right.
when you're getting close to them, and they hate it. And the latest one I got a call from Phil Jahan squealing like a rat in a trap. Are you going to say good riddance to me if they kill me? That's what he's worried about right now. After Dan Wallace died and nobody cares about him and we're saying good riddance to Dan, he's panicking. Are you going to say good riddance to me if they kill me? I said to him, yes. We tried to help you. You don't go anywhere. It's been years. You know, when he first came on the scene, I thought, well, you know, maybe he's correct. Maybe there is a pod under the plane. Maybe the Vatican does have a role in this that's significant. But we all looked into these things. You know, we've looked. And he is still pushing this Vatican stuff. He's still insisting they are in control of everybody and every nation and every organization. And there's a point at which you got to realize he is not simply stupid. He's not naive. He is working with them.
That's right.
And that's why he's now worrying as he looks at people like Dan Wallace is dead and Michael Zabur is dead and nobody cares, that maybe he's thinking, you know, he's worrying. He's panicking. And you'll see on his website now, he's complaining about me. And one of his interesting remarks is, and I'll read it because this one remark is really, it tells you something. If you look closely at what they're saying and what they're panicking about, he makes a remark about his biggest fear.
Mm-hmm.
And his biggest fear, he says, my biggest fear is this Jewish stuff is being circulated all through the internet. Now, and he says, it's catching on like wildfire. Now, why is he fearing this? Why would anybody care that people are pointing out that Israel is involved? Why is he worried that it's catching on like wildfire? And why would it catch on like wildfire? It's catching on because as we look into it, a lot of us who don't know much about the Vatican, we thought, well, maybe he's correct. We look at the Vatican, we don't see anything. We look at the globalists. We can't even find the globalists.
Yeah, who are they, Eric, by the way?
Well, this is what I, on the phone call with Phil, I brought up to him. Who are they, Phil? Who would you tell if the police to arrest if you were in control? I asked them that. I said, well, who would you arrest? And this is when they go around in circles. Well, we got to get the Satanists. I said, well, the Satanists? Who are the Satanists? You can't just tell the police, go arrest Satanists. And so they just give you they go around in circles when you say to them, well, who is it? And then they might name a name or two. They might say, well, Bush and Rockefeller. Well, that's two people. That's not the whole group.
But see, Eric, they don't. See, if they when people bring up Rockefeller as one of the kingpins, he is. But if you go back to the beginnings of the Standard Oil fortune, he got his financing from old money in Europe. And that old money goes right back to the same group we're identifying.
But then Phil will say, yes, but the Vatican is in control of the Rothschilds. He says, the Rothschilds are just there, basically like an accountant for the Vatican. You know, basically the Vatican is under control of the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds then funded the Rockefellers, but it's all going back to the Vatican. This is what he keeps saying over and over. And it's the same with Szymanski. It's the same with Eric John Phelps. And then Alex Jones, it's the same thing. It's the Illuminatis. It's the globalists. They won't identify anybody. They won't, because when you look, you find there are some possibly some Vatican involvement and some corruption. But
well, of course, I mean, and you know that they staffed a lot of these parishes across America and the world with known homosexuals. Now, again, please don't write me if you're a homosexual. I'm not against homosexuals. I'm against the way your community has been used to forward an agenda and to blackmail people. This has nothing to do with the 10% of the world who's born with gender or sexual identification questions. This is about using that community to leverage what they want to get done, Eric. And, you know, so the fact is the Vatican has been one of the arms of this, but so is Freemasonry. And we get this argument all the time, too. It's the Masons. But when it's the same question again. You go back to this guy Weishaupt, his financing came from Rothschild directly.
Right. Well, you also have to look at who put the explosives in the towers. Where did the explosives come from? Who made them? How did the media, why are they all suppressing this?
It was Father Mike, Father Dave, Father Joe, Father Aaron, Father, and all these priests, they came from all over the country and they brought in all the stuff and blew the buildings up, Eric.
That's what people like, you know, Phil Jahan, Eric John Phelps, they want you to somehow believe that somehow these people in Rome are controlling all people all over the world. It doesn't make any sense. And what gives it away is when it goes on year after year, and they don't ever change anything they say. They never add to it. They never, with all the new information, they never come up with explanations for anything.
No.
And Phil right now on his own website is taking things completely out of context, where I have that article of mine where I have this, you know, that bum holding up the sign that says, help, I spent all my money on Jews, where I'm making fun of the white supremacists and saying, you know, look at these white supremacists. They don't seem real either. So what Phil is doing on his website, he's taking some of those quotes out and saying, oh, look, he's racist against Jews. He's insulting Jews. I mean, it doesn't even make sense what he's doing. It's absolutely illogical. He's taking something completely out of context, and I explained it to him over the phone, and he still did it. And you'll see the same thing with Alex Jones and Jeff Rentz. They will continually lie and hope that nobody catches on. That's their only defense. They have nothing. They cannot use the truth. They can only use deception and lies and hope that nobody catches on.
Well, but then you know, Jones has a penchant for the hot button issues that everybody's, you know, that's going to get everybody's blood boiling. You know, the immigrant stuff. And, you know, he goes after the cheap shot kind of fear-mongering stuff, Eric.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, the same with Aaron Russo. They're going to put chips under your skin. They're going to get you. And what Jones said on the other day when Mike Rivera was on, he made this remark about how if they start a war with Iran, he's going to help expose them. Well, you know, this is like somebody warning you. They're going to come and get you and cut your arms off. They're going to come and get you. And imagine this going on for years. Then he says, and if they do cut your arms off, don't worry. We'll help identify who they are. Well, who cares once your arms are cut off? This is their attitude. Their attitude is to scare you to death, make you feel you can't do anything, but don't worry because they're here to identify who did it when it does happen.
But see, they don't see. Yeah, what they do is they identify low-level henchmen. They never talk about, a cabal, according to Alex Jones, controls the media. Why can't he just say that Jewish interests are in thorough control of the media? That has been discussed by the Jews themselves.
Well, they boast about it, in fact. They boast about it.
But what they're
afraid of is you're going to catch the Israeli connection. That a lot of this is coming out of Israel, the planning stages. You know, they do a lot of the planning there. That possibly is where the explosives were made and shipped from. It may not be Americans at all that did any of that demolition of the towers. It may have been completely Israeli. But we don't know, and they won't even look into it. They won't tolerate it. And now Phil is saying, oh, I'm an anti-Semite. I'm a Jew hater. He's writing this stuff. This is their only defense right now. When you start noticing the Israeli connection, they have no defense because that is what the evidence is going to. And it's not our fault that the evidence points to Israel. It's their fault. They should have thought about this before they blew those towers up.
Let's go one sidebar issue here, Eric. Right when we started getting traction, they doubled the number of films on the Holocaust that were being shown on my TV set. And as of today, there is not a single day that passes that if you don't peruse the dial here, that you find several programs about Jewish suffering. Now, interesting when you think about that, because how the heck could Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld control the planning of television programming here in France?
Well, you'll see it if you just look at people like Steven Spielberg. I mean, they have been quoted as saying they will die for Israel. Israel, ever since Zionism has been around for a long time, but it officially started and got a lot of funding in 1897 or 6.
Yeah.
That's when it really took off. And you'll notice that that's when you also get the Protocols of Zion, and you'll get people coming out of Russia, the Russian area, you know, the Eastern Europe area, coming over to other countries like America and Europe, where they start the process of taking over the media and taking over the banks and taking over the businesses. That's the process. They started it on a large scale back then. And you can trace some of the families to that. This is what Bolin noticed. You can trace some of these families, the Simons and the...
Well, the Jabotinsky group.
Yeah, you'll find a bunch of them coming out of there at that time. And this is what they're panicking, that people are starting to realize this movement, this Zionist movement, has been playing a very big role in the world's corruption. There is really an attempt to take control of Europe and America, and certainly other countries too. And this is what they're panicking about right now. And their only defense is just to bombard us with propaganda right now.
Well, and then ignore us hoping that we will only stay, at the 15 or 20,000 mark. But the fact is, if you look at the debate in general, our efforts are shifting the entire debate in the mainstream.
Well, they have no choice. But see, the other thing that people are not quite caught on to yet, you can see this, there's a Google video I'll put a link to. Somebody went to this rally just a few days ago. It was called United for Peace and Justice. You know, another one of these great-sounding names. They're always for peace and justice and honesty and love and all this stuff. And so it's against the war. And the person who is, you know, the people speaking are talking about how they need to investigate, you know, the war. We need to stop the war. And somebody gets up and says, well, what about 9/11? Because, you know, 9/11, that's the reason for the war. When are they going to talk about 9/11? He gets up and he brings it up, and they don't want to talk about it. So he pulls a bullhorn out and starts yelling at them, what about 9/11? You know, when are you going to talk about 9/11? He's in the audience yelling with a bullhorn. They chase him out, of course. He doesn't get it. The peace and justice groups, the anti-war groups, they are controlled. They are Zionist organizations.
Well, look, Eric, you'll always see them, too, using, pilots for truth, dog catchers for truth, plumbers for truth.
Yeah, they got them all, always for truth. And this is another thing that you wonder, how obvious does it have to get? They're using this right in the names, trying to fool you with the words they're choosing. They're not for the war. I mean, they're not against the war. The Democrats are not against the war. It's an illusion. They are fooling people into thinking that if they elect a Democrat, then the war will stop. Well, if the Democrats wanted to stop the war, it would have stopped already. It would have stopped a long time ago. If they wanted to expose 9/11, they would have done it years ago.
That's right.
None of these groups want to do anything.
That's why, Eric, and I'll do a sidebar here. We did talk about this earlier. Why in the world would a guy like Ahmadinejad have a conference on the Holocaust? And this is what Finkelstein says. He says he looked at the quality of the invitees, and he said there was not a scholastic among them that had any note in this work. And he said the ones that were brought there were by and large just a bunch of provocateurs or hot button kind of guys. Like Michael Collins Piper, which, you know, stealing the name of an Irish hero, this guy's not even his name, Collins. But what he did, this guy Ahmadinejad, is put on a sham conference, and in fact, they tried to use it to discredit us rather than help us. But that's not all. If they really wanted to do damage to the American government, how hard would it be for them to start pushing the idea that 9/11 was an inside job and that there is no Al-Qaeda? But that's not what they say. And in fact, Ahmadinejad said the other day that we are against the terrorists and we're not trying to help the terrorists. That, why doesn't he say the terrorists are America?
Well, America and Israel.
And Israel. And the SAS.
No, he won't. Yeah. There's something fishy there. And if you listen to it, even Michael Piper has admitted on his radio he doesn't even study the Holocaust. He says this. He doesn't study anything. You'll hear him over and over on his radio show saying, well, yeah, I haven't studied this. Oh, I haven't studied that. Oh, I haven't studied this. I'm just a hack writer, he describes himself. I'm just a hack writer with opinions. What did he get invited for? And then David Duke and these other people, it's a sign that somebody is manipulating these so-called Holocaust events and these Holocaust deniers. They're all setups. It's all an attempt to manipulate, to confuse, to distract.
Well, and you can look in history. See, I'm a student of historical events that actually mirror current events. And if you take a look at Turkey, when they were imploding the Ottoman Empire, of course, they did it from within, and they did it with members at the highest level being actual Zionists in disguise. They were on the surface calling themselves Muslims and Islam and believed in Islam, but in fact the Young Turks were in fact Jewish clandestinely. And when push came to shove, they imploded that empire, and then proceeded to do terrible things to the minorities in their control. And that was actually the beginnings of the Palestinian adventure. But they're doing it again in Iran, I think. And I think there are Jewish elements that are acting like they are Persian or Shia or whatever group from the Islamic world that are, in fact, duped. They're duping people.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. There's a lot of Iranian Jews. The president of Israel was an Iranian Jew. Now think about that for a minute. The president of Israel, the guy they just arrested for rape charges, was an Iranian Jew. Now, what are his connections? Does he have connections to people in Iran? See, you see, that may have been why he was selected. It may be that that was to help get a lot of the Iranians to help work with Israel, for all we know. It could have been another trick. We don't know the details, but there's something fishy here with Iran and Israel. And then,
well, you have to know, Eric, that back in the 80s, after America was unable to do direct deals with Iran, we went through Israel to sell them weapons.
Yeah,
Israel was doing deals with Iran behind the scenes, and still do, by the way, today.
Yes, and the person behind the Freedom Law School that's connected closely with the American Free Press, Payman, his last name's a little hard to pronounce, but he's an Iranian Jew also, and this could be part of another setup. You know, his organization is encouraging you to give him money rather than pay income taxes, so he gets to make money off you, and it could just be another setup to help blackmail people. And they've got a meeting coming up. you know, and you've got to look at the meetings that these people arranged for 9/11. They've got a bunch of them coming up. March 11th, the Freedom Law School is having one with people like Professor Jones, Webster Tarpley, Dave Von Kleist, you know, Kevin Barrett.
Dave Von Kleist.
The same group over and over. It's the same people, and it's always the same thing. There's no Israeli involvement. I don't see any Israeli involvement.
Well, didn't Von Kleist even almost take you off the podium? Don't talk about that, Eric.
Well, on phone calls, yeah, and in person, he'll tell me not to talk about certain issues. The two issues he and a lot of people do not want you talking about are the Apollo moon landing and the Holocaust. They just freak out when you bring these things up in public.
Well, I stay away from that because I don't want to spend the time to bring that issue completely into the battle.
Yeah, but the point is, why does he care what I say? What does he care? What does Dave Von Kleist care? What does Phil Jahan care? What do any of these people care? If I want to bring it up, why do they have to take it upon themselves to tell me to stop it? I mean, do you call him up? Do you talk to these people and tell them, look, I don't want you talking about Waco or Oklahoma City?
Well, I occasionally call them and harass them, Eric.
Yeah, but that's different. I know Phil told me about that. But you see, the thing is, they are trying to suppress certain issues. They don't want you looking at certain issues. And then these are the people that go around from one meeting to the next, and you really got to wonder what in the world is going on, even with Professor Jones.
Yeah.
First I have Scholars for 9/11 Truth. When that breaks up, he starts a new one, but now he's with what? Jim Hoffman, and look at some of the other people. Phil Berg is now in the group, and it's the same group of people.
Yeah.
What's the point of this? Is he afraid? Is he just so meek and mild and afraid to fight them and they're surrounding him again? Or is this another scam and he's part of it? See, we don't know the details, but you can see something's wrong here. All of the people who are getting publicity, there's something wrong with all of them. That's why they're getting it. And if you look at shows even like CNN, like the show that they had the other day with Bolin and they mentioned our voices, but of course they didn't really give any of us publicity. But the entire show, it started off with a meeting, a party. They start the show off, it's an hour long, so they started off talking about a party held at a college, Clemson University.
Yeah.
And this is you've got to think about this show for a minute. Now, here's an hour-long show. It starts off by some college kids having a party for Martin Luther King where some of them are sort of dressed up, sort of like rap stars, you know, black rap stars. They got a couple Afro wigs, and one person puts aluminum foil on a tooth like it's a fake tooth. And they're putting this on CNN saying, oh, look at these college kids. They're insulting black people. This is racist. And they're trying their best to stir up anger between whites and blacks.
Yeah.
And then it goes to another show where they're trying to say, here's another racist behavior. The entire show is like somebody poking you in the ribs, trying to make you angry.
That's right.
Entire show. It's stirring up trouble, fighting, stirring
up. And then,
of course,
the pièce de résistance at the end is, of course, Bolinza and you and me saying, you know, I think the Zionists did it. And then, of course, when Bolin says, I'm not anti-Jewish, the ADL representative immediately says, well, that's what all of them say.
Right. And you see, so the show started off with, what they do is prepare people is by stirring them up by saying, oh, look at all these racist people. And then they come up with, and they're anti-Semites too. It's nothing but prodding and poking and trying to stir up trouble, stir up hatred, stir up fights. And
sounds
people,
like Alex Jones.
That's what they all do. They may all be getting training at the same, you know, from the same group because they're following. It seems as if they follow, use the same techniques. They may be getting some of the same trainers. No, seriously. I mean,
I agree, but Jahan was a dropout.
Well, that may be why they abandoned him, because he was working originally with Dave Von Kleist and Deborah Simon and
Chemansky.
Well, the Loose Change people also, and you see, they've all pretty much dumped him. He may have been just too much trouble for him, too hard to control or something. But these people are not just popping up on their own. They must be getting training somewhere. They must be. This is not just... These people are not just innocent citizens who are concerned about the world and getting out on their own. They are part of some group.
Well, they're getting financing from people like Deborah Simon to the tune of $100,000, Eric.
Well, that's just what she mentioned to somebody. But, I mean, you don't know what the truth is with these people, how much money they really have.
More than that, I'm sure.
Because, I mean, who's paying Stattmiller's bills for his RBN network? Somebody is paying bills there. And you've got GCN. Are they really getting it all from donations? So
no.
There's a lot of money here. And you can see what they're doing right now in the military, that with palletfuls of cash, they're sending over to Iraq. And now here's another trick that people don't, there's another one they don't seem to get. Alex Jones has come out with a witness to one of the, so, you know, he just interviewed the other day a witness to the cash being passed out, a woman that's in the military. And a lot of people will think, wow, Alex Jones, he's like breaking the great stories. He has so much new stuff, and he's doing it again with somebody who just saw Building 7 collapse and had warnings. And so people think, wow, he's bringing out all the great stuff. Well, think about this. If he is in with the people who blew up Building 7, if he's in with the people who are bribing these military people, then he has access to all sorts of information and people that none of us have access to. And they can say to Alex, look, you need some credibility. Here, take this information and release it. That way you can be the hero. And here's a witness for you, Alex. And people don't realize the best source of information about this crime are the people who did it. They have information none of us have. And they have access to witnesses that none of us know about. So naturally, if they want to break out the best news report about it, it will be coming from them.
But at the same time, they're willing to sacrifice mid-level stooges in order to cover up the group that's behind it. Now, of course, you and I both know not all Jews are involved here, Eric. I mean, you've had Jewish people in your family life and in people around you. You know people in your life.
Well,
my best friend in New York who used to feed me during college. I've told you the story many times. I mean, nobody, you know, I'm talking about, Eric, I was starving. I couldn't even pay my own way to get my lunch. And this gal just took care of me, was a dear friend, and to this day is a good friend. Now, the fact is, we know full well that not all Jews are involved in this, and a lot of them are not even marrying into their own religion. They're marrying Gentiles. They're not going to temple on Saturday, and these people aren't to blame for the nonsense that these criminals at the top are involved in. And they're, in many cases, are more lied to than us.
Well, it's the same with saying all Republicans, not all Republicans are involved in what Bush does either. But you see, the only group we've got to constantly make these disclaimers for is them. And this is a sign that there is deep Israeli and Jewish involvement. And that's why we have this tremendous pressure all the time.
Yeah.
You see, because it's true of everybody. It's not all the Americans that were involved. It's not all the brown-haired people that were involved. We don't have to keep making disclaimers. It's not all the short people.
Well, I do want to do that because there are constantly new listeners coming in, and I want them to understand that this is not the approach we take. We're after criminals here. I don't give a rat's
duty. I was saying the reason that we have to do it all the time is because anytime you mention it, they come at you.
That's right.
At you with this, you're an anti-Semite. And the reason, people have to realize, it has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. That is not the reason. What it is they don't want you looking. They are hiding behind this. They're hiding behind anti-Semitism. And this is their only defense. Because if you look, you are going to find there is a deep Israeli connection to 9/11 and all sorts of other crimes.
But and then you have to also understand that their decision makers, the very top decision makers, are not even living in Israel.
Well, yeah, there could be. See, this is the exact details of who's above who. A lot of them may be in Europe. Some of them may be in America.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want you to even look there. Because
that's kind of like their legal their legal protection. Launchpad. They don't have anybody over there that's going to expose them for the crimes they're committing. So it's kind of like their free fire zone. They can go over into Israel and commit any kind of preparation for any crime in the world that they want, and there's not going to be any repercussions. And then when they need to put their tail between their legs and run back to Israel, there's not going to be an extradition.
Well, right. It's a base of operation for them. And they don't want you to look there. That's what they keep chasing you away from, and by using anti-Semitism. That's their only defense.
That's right.
And once you see it, see, you can't, it's over. People aren't going to be fooled again. So that's why they're so worried right now. That's why people like Jahan are so concerned. And Alex Jones, you can hear it in their voice. They're so concerned that it's getting out and it's spreading like crazy now. And so we have the potential to get this out.
Yeah.
If we just tell people, you just got to continually tell people, look at it.
Yeah. Well, we try to put new files up, but the fact is, if the people out there listening go into the archives, we've told the story a dozen different ways and a dozen different times with dozens of different guests. And of course, there are new issues that do come to the fore, and we bring them out with Bolin. And I think last night Barry Turner did a good job of kind of giving us a snapshot of the British perspective on this mess. But again, you know, the story's not that big once you've got it exposed.
No, and you can only say it so many times. That's right.
Yeah, before you get dry mouth and you want to go jump off your... down your stairwell here. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just, it's nonsense in the extreme, you know, that I would have to keep repeating over and over again. But then again, Eric, that's the way they do it. And that's the way they indoctrinate people into believing that, complain about someone Jewish, you're an anti-Semite. That's because people have been browbeat into that mindset for so long. That now they have to be
brainwashed. We have to do what they do. We have to start. We need a positive defamation league and to start complaining about anti-Goyism, and we almost have to do the same thing to help people realize how stupid this is.
Yeah.
I mean, anti-Semitism. That it sounds so serious, but it's as stupid as calling somebody an anti-Goyim or an anti. Anti-anything, or a doo-doo head. It's a stupid, childish insult. Has no meaning. And then they have self-hating Jews because they can't use the term with a Jew. That's like saying somebody's a self-hating Goyim. I mean, this is... If people start using some of these same expressions, maybe that'll help people to realize how stupid this all is.
Well, and on top of that, Eric, when you look at the facts of this group, the Ashkenazis, they are not even Semitic people.
Yeah, they belong.
Which is the
back
real in, kicker?
They belong back in East Europe or whatever that place is.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're Mongol and Russian and Turkmen mix, but they're not Semitic.
Yeah, so they're recreating of Israel. This whole thing, this recreating of Israel, is such a disaster for the past 100 years. Think of all the wars, all the money, all the pollution, all of the deaths and suffering that have been the result of this attempt to create Israel. And the Christians that have been fooled into going along with this, really, they need to ask themselves, you know, if there's a God, is he approving of this? Is he approving of all these slaughters, all these killings? I think the Christians better be hoping there isn't a God and there isn't a hell, because I don't think there are going to be many of them up there in heaven.
No, not with the support they've given to these crooks.
No, I mean, they're not practicing anything they preach. They claim that God has created all people, except then the Arabs, well, he created them so we can kill them. This is nonsense, this whole idea that the Christians think we need to clean this area out and give it back to these Ashkenazi Jews.
Yeah, yeah. And even the name, Eric, Nazi, Ashkenazi, and the Nazi party was financed by Jewish banker money. And that's not debatable. These are absolute provable 100% facts that cannot be denied.
No, and so anyway, what people really need to do is this argument that we're dividing the movement when we complain about people. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is exposing the criminals. We're identifying. This is what we're supposed to do. When you have a crime, you identify who is in it. And that's what we're doing. Alex Jones is somehow in it. Phil Jahan is somehow in it. Dave von Kleist is in it.
Yeah.
And there's all these people, they're in it. Somehow. Yeah. I don't know the role. They're in it.
And what is it that Jack Blood goes back to Boys Town?
Well,
you know,
well, he
what,
may
what's
be,
that connection?
That one, see, these are the things we'll never know what it is, but there's something strange. He may be one of their early victims. Like, if you listen to what John DeCamp was saying, you know, some of his victims, some of the victims of the Boys Town were used to help get other kids kidnapped. Or for all we know, that's what Jack Blood was. He was another kid who had a miserable, abusive childhood. And maybe he's decided, forget it, give me some money, I'll do what you want. We don't know if he is actively part of this or he's just been pushed into it. But you can tell he's working with him. And then you look at the, Bolin just found this new, a new book by Jack Monnet, or I think that's how you pronounce it. He's recommending Joel Skousen in his book. I mean,
well, when Skousen was writing his World Affairs briefs, I used to get a free copy. I was on a free subscription thing because I was a broadcaster. He concentrated his blame on the Arab community and said that the whole goal was to foment a war between Russia, China, and America. And basically, stuff that never led to looking at Zionism and, Jewish media control, any of it.
Right, and so you have to wonder, who is this guy? Why is he taking advice from Joel Skousen? Who is the Skousen family? What's his role, and why is this Jack Monnet working so closely with Stephen Jones? And what is going on here? Something is strange. We don't know what is strange, but something is strange with all of these so-called truth seekers who are getting any kind of publicity.
Yeah.
And so everybody, people need to realize is Israel is not playing games here, and they have a lot of support on their side. They have a lot of people. Even if only a fraction of the Israelis are willing to help out, that's a lot of people. And,
right.
And then you've got the Americans. There's a lot of Americans, both Jewish and Christian, willing to help Israel. And so there is tremendous support for Israel. That's why when you look around on the forums and the message boards, there are so many people defending Israel. And it's overwhelming. You think, how could all these people be lying? Well, look at the support for Israel. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And these people have a lot to lose. If Israel gets exposed, the entire world might say, well, let's cancel this. We've had enough. Let's get rid of it. Forget this fantasy of recreating Israel. They have a lot to lose if the world decides they've had enough of this. And so they are pushing really hard right now on radio shows, on TV, newspapers.
They're trying to ramp up the penalty over here in Europe for speaking about the Holocaust. They're trying to make it a more serious crime, 3 years in prison, la la la, big fines, all kinds of stuff, Eric.
Well, yeah, that's one of their big defenses is to get pity. They're constantly looking for pity.
Well, there are hundreds of people they've already tossed in the hooscow for talking about it.
Yeah, but the ones that seem to be real are the ones you don't hear about. The ones
that's
get the publicity seem to have been the ones they've either compromised somehow and said, here, you're going to be one of our display cases, or whatever you would call that.
Well, that sounds about right.
But it seems like the ones that get the publicity are the ones that are not really fighting it.
Okay.
And the ones that the real ones are the ones quietly being attacked. They don't make the news.
That's right.
And so this is the other thing people have to realize. What's going on with that? What if they do it with 9/11? What if you start becoming 9/11 deniers and you get sent to jail for that? Or Al-Qaeda deniers. Maybe
well, actually, Bush actually floated that idea.
Yeah, so hopefully people won't fall for this trick. We've got to keep exposing it and push it on people. Just email it to people. You don't have to know them. It's all we can do. We don't have the money. We don't have the manpower. So it's up to this small group.
Well, the only thing that's on our side is that the truth is a lot easier to sell than a lie. And, we do it on a shoestring. And the amazing thing is that we're probably responsible for half of the effort being made out there, because before we started this, Eric, a year and a half, 2 years ago, you couldn't find anybody talking about this.
No, it's all over. That's what Phil says right on his website. It's spreading like wildfire. This is why they're panicking. Once you see it, I mean, that's what, it's like you say, the truth. Once you know the truth, you can't go back. And so then all you got to do is infect another person with this truth. It does spread, and it is spreading, and people are getting sick of it. They got to look around themselves. Look at the crime. People need to look at their lives. A lot of people are afraid. They're thinking, oh, this is awful. I don't want to get involved. But look at most people's lives. What do you have to lose? Your miserable, pathetic existence? You know, we have the opportunity now to make the world better. We've got the communication ability today that we've never had in all of human history. We've got the ability now to do something about this incredible corruption.
Yeah.
We've got the chance now. We can communicate easily with one another. Let's do something. Let's take the chance. Let's take the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and I have been, we talk every day, Eric, and I'll let the listeners know, we discuss these things more than once a day, and I'll tell you something, it wears me out, but what would it be if I didn't? I mean, what choices do we have? We either fight or we just roll over. I mean, I can't roll over.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I mean. People need to look at their lives and look at their future and ask themselves, what are you living for? Just to sit in front of a TV set each day? We can make something better. We can make better cities. Look at every time there's a storm now, there's jam-ups everywhere, water pipes breaking. We don't have to live like this. We don't have to put all our money into bombing Arabs. This is nonsense. We could be making nice cities, nice trains, nice buildings, nice schools. We don't need to live this way. And it only takes people to say, let's do it. That's all. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
We don't have to live in fear that we're going to be chipped. We don't have to be chipped. We just say, no, we don't want chips. That's it. We can just say, we don't want the war. That's it. It's not difficult. We just need some people to join with us.
Well, they have been, and that's because we are consistent in our effort, and we keep putting out the quality product here. And, you know, I wanted to do this because from time to time, Eric, we need to reiterate the reasoning behind our condemnation of people who are seemingly genuine, but people are so trusting or in some cases so, ignorant that they can't make the connection of how they're being lied to. They can't understand it. So, you know, that doesn't mean that once we have converted them, we don't want them because they're not computer brains. What we need warm bodies, but we don't need people who are easily fooled. We don't.
Yeah, I know it takes getting used to some of what we're saying. It took me a while because I used to think maybe Phil Jahan's just stupid, Alex Jones is just stupid. In fact, me and you, remember, I would say to you, oh, Alex is just stupid. And you'd say, no, he's lying. I mean, it takes a while to figure out. But what people have to realize is it doesn't matter whether someone's lying, whether they're stupid, or whether they're naive. Don't listen to those people.
Yeah.
And it's people like Dan Wallace, you know, he may have been trying to help, but he gets caught up in the wrong group and ends up dead. I mean, you wouldn't let a dentist that knew nothing work on your teeth and screw your mouth up. Why let somebody get involved with 9/11 if they don't know what they're doing? It's dangerous. You wouldn't want someone driving a car for you if they didn't know how to drive. You know, you've got to learn people that are no good at this, people that don't know what they're doing, should just take the back seat. They shouldn't be out there in the forefront.
That's right. That's right, Eric.
If you don't know too much, just stay back and look and listen and watch and think. Don't start getting out there in the forefront when you don't know what you're doing, and if, especially if you know you're not that smart to begin with.
Yeah. Well, you know, especially with the education system that we've been inflicted with here by these same people, you know, and the chemicals they're throwing in our food, Eric, and the rest of it. I mean, we're talking about a nation full of obese morons, and it's just awful what's happened. It's awful. It's awful.
Well, I have a feeling that, you know, it's possible a lot of the obesity is because people are unhappy, they're miserable, and what are they doing? They're turning to, look at what they're doing. Gambling is on the rise. The latest report that's out on sex slaves is that's increasing. It's the fastest growing business. Food, they're eating like crazy. These are all symptoms of people who are unhappy. And what are they doing? They're not making their life better. They're just looking for quick titillation. Food, gambling, sex, TV, that's not solving the problem, though. That's making it worse.
That's right. It is. It's making it much worse. And I here we have the steady diet of football. Soccer to an American, but football, and we have the steady diet of course on French and European television. Eric, at 9 o'clock at night, the porn films start showing, and you don't even have to have an adult chip for some of this crap. I mean, it's amazing what they will throw out, and of course, all of the TV programming, like 24, it's just propaganda-based, one disgusting show after another. I don't watch TV. Now, how do I know it's on? My wife likes to watch the sitcoms, and she watches some of the shows, and I go downstairs, and she'll be flipping through the channels. I go, what in the heck is this? And I'll watch 2 or 3 minutes of it, and I'll sit there going, oh, my God, look at this stuff. And if you've been away from this stuff as long as I have, TV, I have not been around it for a long time, the descent of the quality, the garbage, and that's not, see, and I told you today about somebody, a director, that I've watched a few of the films. We rented a video, and I watched these films by Robert Redford. And I'll just let my listeners know, everything this guy has put out was nice stories, Eric. Did one about fishing, this family up in Montana. Did one about with Jennifer Lopez, where she comes back to a farm he owned. Just beautiful stories, nice stories, human stories, qualitative things, interesting family kinds of issues that all of us face, that all of us need to know about. Nothing to do with bombs and blowing up shit and how dig up a grave and get superpowers and none of that stuff. And I thought to myself, boy, this is how it could be on every channel.
Well, no, he's not part of the Hollywood crowd, I don't think.
He's not part of the crowd. And in fact, he's been a vehement supporter of qualitative filming for a long time. Now, but see, what my point really is about that is that it doesn't have to be bad.
Yeah, we couldn't easily make our life better. This is what's so bizarre. We can do it. If we just decide, let's do something. And we don't have to put up with all these criminals and lunatics and these crazy fantasies to recreate Israel. We don't have to put up with this. All we need is enough people to say, let's make it better. Let's just get the discussion going on what should we do and how do we do it. It's easy. If people can just stop being fooled into thinking that they're going to solve the problem simply by replacing Bush with Pelosi or somebody.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Eric. I appreciate you coming on again, as always. I mean, we spend a lot of time going through these facts every day, and this has never been easy. And I'll tell you, it's not hard by the day, but by the month and by the year, it's wearing, Eric.
Oh, I know. It's been 4 or 5 years already. Just think of the USS Liberty people. How many decades that's been? They're going to die of old age soon.
That's right.
And then there's the people complaining about the Federal Reserve. They're already dead. This is why we got to do something. We've got the technology today to get the word out with this internet, with the computers, with the phone systems, the radios. We have the ability. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's time for the human race to make the change. So let's do it.
Well, we're going to do it. We are doing it. It's going to happen. People are going to take the reins of power away from these criminals. And the fact is, it's changing right before my eyes here, Eric, and I couldn't be prouder of you as my partner in this fight. And you know, bringing Bolin on was a real help to us because he brings another dimension because he does do the minutia. We do the larger issues, and Bolin pulls a lot of the story behind the story out, and you know. The way this is shaping up, we've got quite an interesting combination here of qualitative broadcasting and article writing, and it's great stuff.
Yep, let's hope we can get it out there, and we'll hope it won't last another year or two.
Well, I don't think it can. I think the finances are going to implode soon. It doesn't look good. But I want to thank you again for coming on the French Connection with me, Eric, and thanks for all your work with me on a regular basis here. And I want to let everybody know out there that, you know, we do need your support. This is a shoestring system here. We don't sell stuff that makes money for this effort. And it keeps, you know, we've got Bolin out there fighting for his freedom, actually, right now. They're trying to put him in jail for arresting him for resisting arrest, which is an impossible charge to level against somebody. You have to do something to be arrested in the first place, but not according to these people. But he's got a bad lawyer, and he's got a big mess on his hands, and he needs your help. And so do we at the French Connection. So if you got $5 or $10, throw it in the mail. Or go to PayPal. It would help us. It really would. But, Eric, I want to thank you again, my friend.
All right, well, I'll talk to you later.
You bet. This is Daryl Bradford Smith, ladies and gentlemen, saying thank you so much for tuning in today's broadcast. Be well now. Bye-bye.